Okay, I think we're going to get started. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ken Mills, and I'm the President and CEO of REGENXBIO. I appreciate everyone taking time to listen to our corporate presentation today, and I want to give my thanks to the J.P. Morgan Bank and the organizers for the invitation to present. I'm making a lot of statements today, including some statements that may represent some forward-looking thinking, so this is our risk factor disclosure slide about some of the things I might say. Gene therapy and AAV gene therapy, that's what REGENXBIO is about. This company was formed over 10 years ago with a vision and a mission before gene therapy with our technology had ever even originated into a person. But we saw a promise, a potential that we thought could help affect literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. And so we persevered, and we took a technology that was raw and, not proven, and grew it, and shared it, and developed it. And what I'm going to describe to you today is, 10 years later, where we are in terms of that progress and where we're going. Truly, gene therapy has a curative potential, and I think you've probably seen many presentations today that have alluded to that fact. What I want to leave you with in terms of the background of REGENXBIO are our partnerships, our programs, and that products are coming for AAV gene therapy. The company, a quick profile of us, we have four clinical stage programs that are active. Those are programs with about 180 employees that we have in Rockville, Maryland, outside of Washington, D.C., where we're manufacturing product, running clinical trials, and enrolling patients. In addition to that, we have over 10 partners who are working on an additional 13 clinical stage programs under license from REGENXBIO, and a total of 30 programs in research and development today. And all of this is based on our proprietary NAV technology platform, which uses a new novel form of a virus called an adeno-associated virus, or an AAV vector, to be able to deliver genes into cells in all different types of tissues, from the eye to the heart to muscle to liver. And when you have a technology like that, and you can get new genetic material into cells and make changes for positive benefit, that's how you can realize the curative potential of gene therapy. We're happy to be led by an experienced team of both drug developers and gene therapy experts. What I'm going to do for the next 20 minutes, hopefully walk you through some of the background of those programs and the progress that we're making, as well as the progress by our partners. Here's a quick summary of our pipeline internally. We have three therapeutic areas that we're focused on as a company right now. One is treatments for retinal diseases. The second area that we're focused on are treatments using gene therapy for neurodegenerative diseases. And the last area is focused on treatments for metabolic diseases, where we're using the liver as a target to express protein. In each one of these areas, we're still using the same concept of gene therapy, where we're putting a specific gene inside of a virus that's not known to cause any disease in a person, but is known to take advantage of the natural properties of a virus and get material into cells. The beginning of this year, we have four active clinical programs that are enrolling, and last year we reported data on two of those programs that I'm going to take you through today. By the end of 2019, we expect to have two additional, so a total of six active clinical trials that'll be enrolling patients across these three therapeutic areas in retinal diseases, neurodegeneration, and metabolic diseases. But beyond the internal programs, I'm just going to stop quickly on this slide. This is a quick summary of all the work that's going on by our partners. And what you see here is a range of companies, from small private companies all the way through to large-cap pharma companies such as Shire, Biogen, who are working with REGENXBIO technology in an array of other indications across liver, hematologic, retina, central nervous system, cardiac, and muscle wasting diseases. Through these partnerships, REGENXBIO recognizes economic benefit from upfront payments that we've received from licensing our technology, and ultimately may receive things like royalties on product sales. But as importantly, we're working with these partners to de-risk the gene therapy technology in order to open up the potential of this technology to go into more significant areas of research and address that curative potential to move into more diseases. So what we're looking to do as a company is to amplify the effect of our own internal pipeline of 6 programs and the 30 additional programs that we're working with the current partners on to create an even larger network and be able to deliver on that promise of hundreds of programs helping literally hundreds of thousands of patients. Notably, I mentioned products. There's one partner this year, Novartis, that's working with one of our AAV vectors, something we call AAV9 that I'll refer to in our own internal programs, that already submitted a biologic license application for the approval of a product for the treatment of a neuromuscular disorder called type 1 spinal muscular atrophy. That product has a regulatory action date in May of 2019, and upon approval, that'll be the first product ever approved using Regenix AAV technology or NAV technology, and will start to accrue revenue for the company starting the first time in 2019. So I'm going to circle back to our internal product development programs. I'm going to touch on 2 programs in detail today and then provide a brief summary of the others. The first program I'm going to talk about is RGX-314 for the treatment of wet age-related macular degeneration. Wet AMD is a disease that is based on central vision loss and progression of loss due to phenotypic growth of blood vessels in the back of the eye. It's literally one of the largest causes of blindness worldwide. And it has existing treatments, and those treatments are known primarily from a standard of care perspective as VEGF inhibitors or anti-VEGF agents. They're products marketed by Genentech, Novartis, Roche, and Regeneron, known as Lucentis and Eylea. Many of you may be familiar with those products. What their mechanism of action is that when these products are injected into the eyeball with a needle, they're basically finding their way to the back of the eye and ameliorating the neovascularization or the blood vessels that are growing in the back of the retina and allowing for that vision to be restored only temporarily, maybe for about 30 or 60 days. And then patients need to come back in and get another injection into the eyeball of that same product so that because there's going to be this constant recurrence of this blood vessel formation, they can have those blood vessels go away again. And if those patients stay on that regular regimen every month, maybe every 2 months, they will recover from vision lost, and they can maintain vision for a reasonably long time if they come in every month or every 2 months for those injections into their eyeball. We've evaluated the opportunity for gene therapy here to be a one-time administration to treat that phenotype in wet AMD. And what we're planning to do is take a gene that will encode for the same type of thing that is the basis of these products, Lucentis and Eylea, and put it into one of our viral vectors and deliver it with a single administration into the back of the eye and allow that eye in an individual subject to naturally produce that agent and consistently suppress that growth of blood vessels in the back of the eye. So the treatment here is taking the paradigm of, you know, hundreds of thousands of patients who need to put the burden on the system of retina specialists and ophthalmologists to come in and get regular treatment and transition all of them to one single treatment where it's going to maintain vision for them, hopefully for the rest of their life. Same mechanism of action of what's been working in the clinic, but simplifying and convenience and compliance and potentially leading to better outcomes. The beginning of 2018, we were in the process of running a phase 1 study where we were evaluating some of the first doses ever of RGX-314 in a patient population. The very beginning of 2019, we announced that we've expanded that trial already into what we call a phase 2A trial after discussion and approval with the FDA. And we're adding an additional 18 patients on top of 24 patients that we had enrolled already through the end of 2018. Inclusion criteria for this include people, as you would expect, that are already diagnosed with wet age-related macular degeneration and have been shown responsiveness to these products such as Lucentis and Eylea and have documented response to those products. We're bringing them into the trial and we're evaluating the ability of RGX-314 to convert them to maintenance of that consistent vision without the need for additional injections. The trial design to date has involved enrolling up to 4 doses, but with the conversion of the trial into a phase 2A, we've decided to expand the 4th dose that was enrolled by the end of last year and add an additional dose level 5, starting at the beginning of this year. I'm going to talk about the data that was presented at the end of last year at the American Association of Ophthalmology Conference by one of our lead investigators. So far, the report from the phase 1 clinical trial for RGX-314 has been that the treatment has been safe and well tolerated. And across the three doses where data was reported, we saw the following. First, we measured protein expression. That is, keeping in mind with a one single administration, we're using cells in the back of the eye to express something that is going to be the active ingredient here in the drug. Yet we were able to, in all patients' dose, measure the amount of protein that was coming from the back of the eye in the very front of their eye by sampling a very little bit of fluid. And we saw a dose-dependent response across three different doses of the amount of protein we could measure in the first dose, all the way through the highest third dose that was 6 times 10 to the 10 genome copies per eye delivered with a single injection. Next, we looked at, over a period of 6 months, how many injections were required in the patients that received a single dose of RGX-314 compared to what they were getting previously. And you can see, again, we saw a dose-dependent reduction in the number of injections required by patients from cohort 1 to cohort 3. Next, we looked at thickness of the retina, which basically suggests how much of this recurrence of neovascularization or blood vessel formation is forming. So thinner is better here. Thicker means that recurrence of blood vessel formation has come back and the treatment is not working. And you can see that across that, we're seeing basically maintenance of what we would consider retinal thickness from people coming into the trial who were already well treated and then traveling through the trial. In this case, we were using a technique that allowed us to evaluate retinal thickness using imaging, and we consider anything plus or minus 30 microns to be maintenance across this patient population. And the last thing we looked at over the six-month period was visual acuity. So how good is the vision of a person? We may be seeing the protein product expressed the way we had planned to. We may be seeing a reduction in the number of injections that were required because we're not seeing that reformation of blood vessels. But is their vision good? And you can see from the dose-dependent response here from cohort 1 to cohort 3 that we saw at least a minimum. This is to be translated in the form of the letter gain test that you all may have, you know, visited at your optometrist or ophthalmologist. If you're seeing gain here, that means you're seeing improvement in vision in the number of letters that you can see on a chart. If you're seeing a negative sign here, it means you lost a little bit of letters. And what we see in the low-dose cohort and the high-dose cohort is a difference between basically what we would consider maintenance and even a potential improvement from people coming into the trial. The last piece of data that we showed were protein expression levels at 6 months. And that established that from that one-time administration, we saw protein at 1 month into the trial, but we also saw a higher level at 6 months, which suggested that the gene therapy was doing what we hoped it would do in terms of durability. From one single administration, we were getting at least the same amount of protein 6 months later from the very initial administration. And then the last thing that was highlighted in October were that three patients at that time had established that they had received no injections through 6 months. But at the beginning of this year, we were actually able to update that those same three patients back in October are now at 9 months. And similarly, none of them have received any additional injections of those products that I alluded to earlier. To frame this out for you, these were patients that had been diagnosed 4 or 5 years earlier and had received maybe on average 35 injections before they had come into our trial. So to go 9 months and not have any need for injections, see improvements in their vision, see protein being expressed, we could attribute this to the treatment effect of RGX-314 at this third dose. So we're moving this trial on in two parts in 2019. We're going to execute on this phase 2A expansion of our phase 1 trial by adding a cohort 4 and a cohort 5 dose where we're looking for responses in patients at higher doses than even what I'm showing you here from cohort 3. And the second piece is in the second half of 2019, we're going to be starting a new IND filing for a phase 2B trial. We'll be bringing doses forward based on the analysis of the phase 2A trial into a controlled study that will begin the process of us stepping towards looking at how RGX-314 can affect larger populations of people in maintaining visual acuity, with a step being towards ultimately getting this product registered as the first gene therapy for wet age-related macular degeneration. Second area that we've been focused on in the last year, 2018, we dosed our first patient in our neurodegenerative disease franchise. And we actually have three active programs across the research and clinical development spectrum here at RegenxBio, focused on diseases that are all similar. I think the audience is probably familiar with classes of diseases known as lysosomal storage diseases. Companies such as Genzyme and BioMarin and Shire have historically used processes and products called enzyme replacement therapy to treat patients who have lysosomal storage diseases where they're missing a single enzyme in their body that's not allowing their cells to break down and metabolize materials. And so they're building up in their cells and causing all sorts of cell morphology issues and ultimately tissue problems and ultimately death. Enzyme replacement therapy has literally transformed the treatment and the paradigm of outlook for lysosomal storage disease now for almost over 20 years. But there are still gaps in the treatments for lysosomal storage diseases, including symptoms associated with neurodegeneration of lysosomal storage. And that's because the current paradigm of treatment is to give children and now some adults intravenous administration of enzyme. And when you do that, it can resolve symptoms in the periphery and the soft tissues, but it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. And patients who have problems with lysosomal storage disease, yes, they have enlarged soft tissue, they have problems with bone and muscle, but they also have significant neurocognition issues, decline, behavioral issues, neuropsychological issues that can, in severe cases, probably in 50 to 70% of the cases, have onset at age 2. And there's no treatment for this right now outside of some, you know, dramatic alternatives like bone marrow transplant, but no pharmaceutical treatment. So the question that we had at RegenxBio in terms of the application of gene therapy was, how do you take a paradigm like repeat administration of an enzyme and do that in the brain? It just sounds very clinically clumsy and commercially difficult. Kids and young adults are already coming into treatment centers every week or every other week to get these IV infusions, and now you're talking about injecting something also into their brain or their spinal cord. The thing about gene therapy, of course, like I alluded to with the wet age-related macular degeneration program, is we can potentially get that enzyme into that compartment, the brain and the spinal cord, with one single treatment. If we can get enough of the cells transduced in the brain and in the spinal cord, we can look to correct these diseases from the inside out instead of treating them from outside in. And so that's the approach with RGX-121 for a disease called Hunter syndrome, RGX-111 for a disease called Hurler syndrome. Both of these, by the way, have treatments that I alluded to. A product called Elaprase for Hunter is sold by Shire. A product called Aldurazyme was developed by BioMarin and is co-marketed by them and Genzyme. And then another research program we're focused on is a disease called Batten disease or CLN type 2 Batten disease, which is still in preclinical stage development for us. But currently actively, we have RGX-121 and 111 screening and enrolling patients. And in the case of RGX-121, we actually announced in January that we've done a safety assessment on the first patient that was enrolled in Q4 of last year at an 8-week safety assessment. The first injection of a young child of RGX-121 was achieved. And we've had an 8-week assessment by the physicians in charge of the trial at the University of Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, and they've reported that things are going well with that child. And we're looking later this year to have updates on the progress of that child, as well as deterministic measures of the response of expression for RGX-121 in the cerebrospinal fluid of that patient. In the meantime, we're going to start enrolling additional patients since we passed through that first safety gate. And at the same time, if we have patients enrolled by the middle of the year and can accumulate clinical data and additional biomarker data by the second half of the year, we'll be updating on that on an interim basis as well. This trial design is pretty simple. We're going to end up with 2 doses. We're aiming to enroll in a 3+3 design with, again, a single administration of RGX-121 into the CNS in order to repopulate those cells with an enzyme that was missing naturally when they were born because of a congenital defect. Again, we've dosed a single patient at the low dose here at 1.3 times 10 to the 10 genome copies per gram of brain mass. When we finish dosing three patients, we'll do a safety review, dose escalate, and hopefully be into dose two before the end of the year. So the last program that I'll talk about is a program that we initiated dosing on in 2017 for a metabolic disease called hypercholesterolemia. And simply put, this is an issue where people are born with a defect in their liver that doesn't allow them to metabolize cholesterol and remove it from their blood. And just because of that simple mutation in their liver receptor, they can end up, no matter what they do in terms of diet, exercise, and otherwise, end up with cholesterol levels that can be 10 times what's considered normal and healthy. But if you can encode the gene for the receptor that's missing in liver cells and get it back into the liver with a one-time administration of gene therapy, we've established in animals that you can normalize cholesterol levels. And so we're taking that approach into the clinic. We've dosed six patients to date with what we call RGX-501 for the treatment of this familial hypercholesterolemia. We dose this intravenously because we're looking to put the product through the bloodstream and have it taken up by as many cells in the liver as possible to repopulate that receptor. We started this trial in adults at a single site at the University of Pennsylvania, and we have completed dosing of six patients to date. At the end of last year, we reported that we saw some initial concerns about liver toxicity in patients who, frankly, have very diseased livers to begin with, and were looking to infect their livers with virus. The clinical sequelae resulted in the need for administration of steroid over a course of about 6 to 8 weeks in order to resolve what were some transient liver elevations. But it confounded our ability to look at the results of what the contributions of the treatment were at the time. And so we've refiled an amendment with FDA to actually carry on the study at the same dose that we had left off with the last patient, but administer steroid prophylactically and see if we can ameliorate the liver toxicity that may have occurred based on the product so that we can get a clearer picture of the contributions of the therapeutic benefit of RGX-501. We expect to start enrolling patients in the first half of this year and read out that data in the second half of the year to make a determination about what sort of effect that dose can have on reducing cholesterol in those patients. And so that's what's going on inside of Regenix and outside of the company. I mentioned we have a whole bunch of partnerships and advancement of programs across the entire spectrum. Importantly, this year, I'll emphasize, we're going to have the first ever approval in the United States of an AAV gene therapy based on Regenix technology, the part of our partner Novartis for the treatment of spinal muscular atrophy type 1. We're going to transition the company this year from four active clinical programs by the end of 2019 to six active clinical programs. We're going to have readouts this year on three clinical programs, our wet AMD program, cohorts 4 and cohort 5 with six-month data, our RGX-121 program for Hunter syndrome with interim data by the end of the year, and an update on the reinitiation of that RGX-501 program for familial hypercholesterolemia. We're ending the year 2018 with $470 million, just a bit over that in cash. I feel like that gives us the resources that we need to advance this pipeline, to expand the opportunity space for Regenix Bio and all of gene therapy, to participate with peers and partners and others in the development of AAV gene therapy to achieve that mission of the curative potential. So I want to thank you all today for listening to the background of the company, and we do have an opportunity for a breakout session for any Q&A next door. Thanks a lot.